thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When it's the dog days of summer, that means just one thing. Time to clock out, sit back, relax.
Shut up!
Yeah.
All right? How about that?
Sorry about that. It's time to lock in for another edition of Moneyline with the two best hosts on radio, Donnie Wrightside.
But it is what it is. Otherwise, if we just ran off a spreadsheet, there'd be no gambling, there'd be no sports books, because everybody would just press buttons and win every single thing they absolutely bet at that point.
And Kevin Walsh.
Even if the matchup's a little worse, Donnie, odds are he's going to bounce back because he's just been too good kind of right now, and he let an opportunity pass him by.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
The best hour of your day now officially underway. It's week number one in the NFL within, 48 hours or so. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to take on the Baltimore Ravens. And yes, we are ready. But I got to say this. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Kevin Walsh. We're going to have a kick-ass show today. We're going to have a lot of fun. But Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, Kevin, which would, I guess, equate to Labor Day weekend. The
yes.
Weather in the Northeast was absolutely fantastic. The football and TV in that full slate where you had that nice balance of games all the way through the weekend, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed watching football this weekend, relaxing and saying, man, football season is awesome.
You know what's crazy? Despite now 2 weeks, if you will, of college football. Look, dogs in the background, bear with me, all right? Bear with me. It's a whole lot of new going on here, Donnie. It's a whole lot of new happening here.
People got to explore around there. You know, they got, look, there's a lot of play, like something like, hey, look, I never saw around this corner before. Let me let the people in my house know. I get it. I've been there.
An Amazon package gets dropped off, and it's all of a sudden like, well, clearly we're under attack, and statements need to be made.
Correct.
But what I was going to say is, and I can't wait to talk about all the college football doings, because, man, the Florida State thing, I know how happy that makes you. But I still don't feel like the NFL season is actually going to begin Thursday. It just doesn't feel real to me. I don't know what it is. It might be, and listen, this will probably be boring to most. It might just be my own life, because I'm, for anybody that doesn't know, I just moved. So I've been super busy. It's why here's the PO box. that's why I haven't been on the, I haven't done this show in like 2 weeks. So I don't know if it's just been all of that, but it does not actually feel like Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are going to be on the field on Thursday for me, for whatever reason.
By the way, it sounds good. The new background setting here. We're lining up here. Hopefully we'll get some visuals out there to the people. But it's a great way to kick off football season. And you're right about this. And sometimes, like as I said, there's weekends that I enjoy, but I had such, and again, maybe it's the extra day, like the Monday off, but football all the way. I enjoyed those primetime games. Like, we'll get to the Florida State game because, you know, I'm going to have a lot of fun with that. Thoroughly enjoyed the LSU-USC game.
Great game.
You know me, I'm a Miami fan. I sat back, and for the first time in, I got to say, maybe Kevin, even that Malik Rozier, remember they were like 10-1 or whatever, 10-0?
Yeah.
You knew that the bottom was eventually going to drop out. I don't think I've watched the game and enjoyed it more from a fan perspective, for me being a Hurricanes fan, than I did on Saturday, saying, like, this looks like it might be must-watch TV. From the very first scramble from Cam Ward, it was like, I'm bigger than this game. I got it under control. I'm just going to use minimal amount of energy at times and make every play I want to. It was so awesome to watch that play out, but we do have some big things to talk about. But just from an overall, like, recharge perspective, knowing like the work for us in this business really gets going now. And you guys have been already underway on college football today for the past 2 weeks. But Thursday night and Friday night and the big weekend slate, like I really feel good. Like, no, I love the schedule that we have coming up and the fun we're going to have. But I'm looking forward to it. And you're right about it. When you use the terminology, Kevin, like, I don't know or believe that the NFL is going to start Thursday. Like yesterday, got up early and went down and really for the first time this week, looked at the spreads and checked the games. I'm like, oh my goodness, Kevin. Like, it's actually here.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible, and we got a lot of good stuff. You know, people want more of me, you, and Lisey watching these games. You're going to get more of me, you, and Lisey watching these games. So we're excited about that. But, man, you know, again, the college football, Cam Ward. You can speak to it much better than I can because you know the heyday Miami. But I've long been convinced the best version of Miami is a cocky Miami. Forget act like you've been there before. That Cam Ward scramble where he pulled up 5 yards before out of bounds and walked out, I went, oh, my gosh. I mean, if this isn't the guy, I don't know who is. They beat Florida to smithereens. I know they have a low win total. That's because of the schedule. That was a 2.5-point line. That is not because that's an untalented team. And the cherry on top. Those Florida kids walking over to or the Miami kids going over to all the Florida recruits, Donnie. Goodness. We run Miami. You better come here.
Crash program.
Some poor girl, some advisor trying to get in front of the way of these 350-pound linemen letting them know what's up. Oh, my gosh. If Miami isn't back, I don't know who is.
Yeah, it was really fun to watch. And also, you're right, because – sometimes you watch football games and you know you're going to get good quarterback play. Like Cam Ward going to Miami was a big deal in the offseason, but buried out on the West Coast, you don't really know how good he's going to be. And quite frankly, we've heard a lot, Kevin, over the past 20 years. Miami's back. This is a team they can win with. And it's like, I don't know if they can win with this football team. And last year wasn't a great year for Miami. But the one thing they did do is say, let's go out and hit the portal for some good football players and none bigger than Ward. But you get that. Like if you watch that game, which I watched it all the way through, was Miami the better team than Florida? Absolutely they were. But whenever like a snap got back to Cam Ward, I know you preached about this too, because me, I sort of jump in late and like, okay, let me watch and see what they have, knowing that they were supposed to have their good offensive line, good running backs, good wideouts, Restrepo. Mm-hmm. We understand that. But the fact of the matter is, like, when the ball got snapped, every play I felt like Cam Ward had every single play under control. Oh, you want to rush me a little bit? I'll spend a little bit of energy, get outside the pocket. I'll wait. I'll make a sidearm throw, sling it in the back of the end zone for a touchdown. No big deal. Oh, you want to bring the blitz heavy? The minute the ball snapped, I'll rip it right up to my wide receiver for a quick game at this point. Oh, look, a free unblocked guy coming up the middle. Sidestep, dance around here, make a play myself. That's what I was most impressed with, because we've seen times where it's like, okay, good quarterback, lighten it up, 350 yards passing. We've seen it before. But I just felt like, and also, when they were asking questions at the end of the game, saying, this is the most prepared I ever was for a college football game. Like, I'll enjoy it for 30 minutes. I'm already on the A&M. It's almost like the mindset of this team now is like, we still have to see it on the field. Oh, we just saw it against Florida. Now we might be in for something special, which means an ACC championship, which they've never had.
And this is a team that was 60-1 to win a national championship and has moved to 22-1.
Yes.
Think about that type of move. And it's, by the way, it's justified. Florida State is 42-1 to win an ACC title. Man, you know, it's so funny because we bash guys like, remember the Harbaugh schedules, Donnie? I mean, it would be November, and we'd be like, have they played anyone with the Pulse?
And they haven't been on the road till November. Yes, they've 100%. I love those schedules.
Yep. But how the hell did Mike Norvell open this season with a pair of ACC games? Yeah. I do not understand. Like, listen, you want to go to Dublin? Play Georgia Tech. I think that's all good. I really do.
Yes.
How is the game that you come back not against Boston College State? How is that another
and no
game?
Week.
And that's what I'm saying. And NFL teams, you know, other than the crazy Jaguars, never do stuff like that. So, and that was one of the reasons I was low on that team. And now you look at the schedule, Donnie, Miami, Notre Dame, Clemson, you go, this team's going to be scrapping for bowl eligibility potentially here with FSU, because the whole thing is falling apart with DJU, and all of a sudden you get this team that was unbeaten, fully believes they belonged in the playoff, and now year over year, I mean, they thought they were going to join the SEC. They're lucky the ACC doesn't kick them out.
No, and this is what we're going to have fun with in the next segment here, just to set the table. If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing. And by the way, Kevin sent me a bet before the game. I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting here, and which was, you know, rushing. But here's, it wasn't that it didn't win, and technically it didn't have a chance to win. But if you're watching at the end of the first quarter, if anybody was watching the game last night, there was no clock on the screen. Bob was choosing, telling us that there's 2.5 minutes left in the first quarter, meaning you should get two or more plays inside the 10. That didn't happen. First play of the second quarter, rushing touchdown for Georgia Tech. It's like, way to get this season off in style. But let's start talking about Florida State and what they have ahead or what they don't have ahead of them right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a weekend it was overall. Movers and shakers, maybe not necessarily. The teams we thought that were going to win primarily won and won easy, but the focus is on Florida State and Georgia Tech because we just saw that last night. 24-21 final, and quite frankly, excuse me, I'm looking at Georgia Tech from the week before, excuse me, because we still have, they're basically, Florida State's the only team that's like week one and week one as well extended here. 28-13. They got hammered last night. Once again, a game showing where they weren't the better team, even though they were favored by 16-17.5 points at game time. Castellanos, the quarterback, was doing whatever he wanted. But that, I don't even want to focus on Boston College offense. We know they have a dynamic quarterback that can get some yards, a couple decent running backs. But Florida State, pound for pound, is supposed to smash this team, whether or not DJ Uiagalelei is a good quarterback or not. Here's my issue with Florida State, Kevin. Coming into this game, I said, you know what? I'm still going to be rooting against them as I always do against Florida State. I don't care what happened last year at this point now, even though I think I say like Norvell lost the team. And quite frankly, my stance still stands 2 weeks into the season because I can still play off of that. In what world, Kevin, does Roydell Williams, 3 carries, 10 yards. Lawrence Toafili, 1 carry, 5 yards. The team itself, 16 carries, 21 yards. That's the sign of an offense absolutely in shambles. Because correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin. You should be able to hand the football off and beat up Boston College. They couldn't do a damn thing with them yesterday.
And that's the thing, is you now have two games where their offensive and defensive lines were wildly underwhelming based on expectations. And again, this is no victory lap year, but when I went through the FSU, you know, preseason preparation, right? That's a team you dive in on and you give attention to. And the amount that they lost, listen, when Georgia, when Bama, when Ohio State loses, right? They are accustomed to retooling. Florida State is not accustomed to the whole roster going to the league. It's what they did. It's incredible, right? But it can leave you in shambles. And somehow this team is in absolute shambles. And what I think is so fascinating, and it is not all on the kid, but this DJU thing, man, you know, like they hung their hat on this side. This is kind of where you look around, right? Like Oregon gets Dante Moore to come in to back up Dylan Gabriel. Yes. Boise State somehow, some way, snags Malachi Nelson, and he doesn't even win the job. In your own, again, Florida State was supposed to be this big thing. Look at Cam Ward at Miami. Grayson McCall with 3 touchdown passes. I know it was Western Carolina, but Grayson McCall ends up going to NC State. Again, within your own conference, the ACC is all in all, Donnie, right? It's not that great. Is DJU even one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the ACC?
Which brings the next question up. Sometimes you can just get bad quarterback play, like, ooh, that's just not going to work out. But you watch the first 2 weeks of DJ Uiagalelei. Start with Georgia Tech. It felt like almost in the beginning parts of that game, Kevin, like, ooh, you know what? I don't know if we want to throw the football here in a close game with DJU. Which, why did you spend like $1 million plus on the guy to bring him in? And you watched him last night. He has time to throw. And even one of the biggest plays in the game, which may be the most simplest, Kevin, third down and goal, maybe it was second down and goal. You had a tight formation up top, which you had twins left. You run your inside guy on a blown coverage on a corner route. You make that play in your sleep. It's a 10-yard pitch and catch touchdown. He airmailed that right now. And the boos were raining down all night last night at Doak. But you can you start him against Memphis? Because quite frankly, your season for a national championship is up in smoke. That's always the end, the ultimate goal of every team. That's not going to happen this year. Do you make the move to your backup quarterback and say, well, at least we better start getting ready for next year to see if we can get to, because he doesn't A, help your team now, and B, he's not the future of your team. So what are you doing with him still a quarterback? Does he start next week against Memphis?
I mean, it gets weird, though, because the quarterback room, I mean, you can go to Brock Glenn, who I believe played a little in that game against Georgia, right? Remember Rodemaker hit the portal, which was absolutely wild. I mean, outside of that, Donnie, it's a lot of freshmen. I don't think DJU loses the job because, at least yet, because they're going to be coming off of a bye, and they're going to try and, you know, just bang. But Donnie, this is kind of the thing, and I know that I brought it up, but it's also the defense. The defense isn't living up to they played Georgia Tech.
I thought they were supposed to have a tough first step. Like, all I kept hearing in the offseason, Ken, was how tough that defensive line for Florida State was. Manhandled in back-to-back weeks.
This is not USC, LSU. Like, I got to be like, so LSU, Donnie, right? I have a ticket on them to win an SEC title, right? 12-1. Mm-hmm. It's 23-1 now. I think that's insane. I don't need to re-bet it. Their chances to win the SEC are just as good. I think USC is really good. I think LSU's really good. I think that was a great football game between two, let's call it top 15 teams in college. Clearly, USC was undervalued on preseason polls. And you hang your hat and you move on. Boston College, I mean, Georgia Tech, that's who Florida State lost to here.
Yeah. Let's see if they get that upper-level competition. Look, teams can rebound, but in a year where it's like, okay, you can afford a loss and still make the college football playoff, Florida State's like, it's September 3rd. We are now officially out of the college football playoff, which, again, makes me laugh quite a bit. Now, look, Miami can get injured and be bad, and other teams can as well. If we're not depending on that, they're not going to win the ACC, I don't believe, or even have a chance to do it now. Because as you're pointing out too, Kevin, it's like you lost to two ACC teams, which is two ACC losses off the bat. But now in the tiebreaker, like, let's say Georgia Tech's decent. They basically have a game and a half above you. And the same thing can be said about Boston College. We'll see how it plays out. Let's keep it in the ACC because I'm fascinated by this. I don't know if I was one of the few people, but like, oh, man, sharp Clemson. I didn't care. The minute that line came out 13 and a half, I took Georgia because I said, I think I saw this play out before where it's like, okay, the SEC plays the ACC. And the questions from that ACC team are, what's the offense going to be? Yeah, play it on Georgia. They win 34-3. But Dabo Swinney is in this such interesting spot where I'll just set it up for the next segment here, where it's like, I know I'm a great coach and I've done it my way. I will continue to do it my way, even if it makes it easier to hit the portal for every other team. I'll show you why the portal should not be there. And boy, is it paying off in spades? Absolutely not for Clemson. 34-3. Let's talk about the future of Clemson. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
My goodness. You go from Deshaun Watson to Trevor Lawrence, DJU, and then Cade Klubnik. We're talking about Clemson here, people. And look, I like the fact that Clemson's like, yeah, sure. We'll play in the kickoff in Atlanta, in SEC country, and take on the Georgia Bulldogs, who, quite frankly, Kevin, last year, they don't get left out of the college football playoff by losing to Alabama. They're probably crowned national championships, and away they go. They took the Orange Bowl series. They took the offseason seriously. They show up and absolutely pound Clemson. And for me, it wasn't a surprise. I thought Georgia would win by 2+ touchdowns in this game. But now we look again. That offense, I don't know what happened. It used to be where Clemson's like, man, they got big-time wideouts. They got great running backs. They got super athletic quarterbacks. How did they get so stagnant, K-Double, on offense? What's the deal? Man.
I got to tell you, your breakdown there, it sounds similar to the Roddy White tweet, which really cracked me up.
Big body.
You saw the Roddy White tweet, I imagine.
No, I didn't.
I think it was – I think it was Roddy White who tweeted it. You didn't see it?
No. What is it? Let me see here.
Well,
by the way, Roddy White didn't even go to either one of these schools. But was he just ripping Dabo?
Roddy White said, "Man, I'm looking out on this Clemson field right now, and basically 10 out of 11 guys are white. I have no idea."
Before you go on this, by the way, before you go in on this, I'm telling you right now, which I love how your mind works, because you know me like a book here. I saw a couple pass plays early. I'm like, let me sit up here. Let me see what's going on. I did not see that tweet at all. I just read the first line out here by Roddy White at Roddy White TV. Clemson got way too many white dudes on this offense. This ain't them. And it made me laugh because I'm telling you, I was like, either there's a resurgence. Like, I don't know, like back in my day here, but I was a Division III wide receiver as a white kid out here basically playing the slot position. Weren't many like showing off like, man, these guys are dominant. I got to tell you, though, I did get a kick out of Clemson. That's so, I'm going so glad I didn't actually see that tweet before we just got live on the air. That is hilarious. So go ahead. Oh, that's good stuff.
Well, but no, but listen. I'm trying to find a way to acknowledge the topic that I just brought up while
that's great. You know,
all I'm saying is, man, there's a lot of questions around what the heck Dabo was doing. Too? Yeah, who knows? And then there were people like, no, like don't apologize. Like he doesn't hit the portal. Like it's like we get where you're coming from.
Oh.
But I for Clemson, like it just doesn't look like the same sport. And I don't understand how Cade Klubnik and DJU. So let's remove, I guess, DJU because he's not been to multiple places and it hasn't worked out. But Cade Klubnik, Donnie, was this way mega hype prospect.
Yes. That's
I know sometimes guys don't hit, but one of the selling points is Cade. They're like, man, listen, the kid's like a track star. Like he could run in the Olympics, I swear. And he never takes off. No burst, no pop out of this kid in the backfield. I don't like again. He's terrible. I don't get it.
That was the point I was making this morning. I was like, Ben, like it wasn't as if he like handed off to a fifth string walk on who barely played in high school. Like, hey, this is what we're down to now. We got to make it work. Like you're talking about some of the biggest recruits you can have in DJU and also Cade Klubnik, and the offense is just so stagnant out there, and it shouldn't be that way. And it wasn't always that way at Clemson. Like, there was no transfer portal before, but you had some of the best wide receivers in college football playing for Clemson. Like, some of those athletic quarterbacks playing for Clemson.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, DJU shows up against Notre Dame. It's like, damn, he's better than Trevor Lawrence. Look at, like, this pipeline is out of control, and he falls off the map completely. And you're right. It was last year going, like, you got to get the Klubnik, man. This guy's the next come. Look, they're not going anywhere with DJU 2 years back. Get this guy in the game. And he can't make any plays. Now, also, they did play Georgia. Georgia is going to make a lot of football teams look bad because that's what Georgia does. But it would be one thing, Kevin, like 34-27 Clemson loses. All right, we lost to Georgia, maybe the best team in the country. Let's move it forward. But it was such an uninspiring loss on offense. I don't even know how it gets better. Like you just keep handing off to the running back who's your only decent player?
I think it's because Georgia also didn't look very good in the game. Like I know they won 34-3, but Georgia was beatable on Saturday. But Clemson just never got up off the mat, and eventually Georgia found a rhythm and just got that team right up out of there. I mean, that's, again, man, like Miami, you know what I'm saying, Donnie? I mean, you know what time it is, man. I mean, it's all you all the time.
Fun is back. The fun is back. Maybe I'm going to start working Saturdays again. You never know. I mean, it's a crazy time. I'm feeling real refreshed. I don't know how refreshed I'll be next week, but we're going to keep the vibes high as long as we can. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin. Right here on a Tuesday. It's game week, baby. Game week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For
football on the mind, people. And yes, the NFL opens up on Thursday, and we will be excited, ready, and I don't know how many live wagers we're going to be rocking and rolling with. But sometimes you forget about the wagers that you loved in the past. And Kevin sent me, you know, a rushing touchdown every quarter, which made me go right to the game specials market on the FanDuel Sportsbook, hoping they just explode for Thursday night's game. And I don't care what site it's on. 365, which thank you to them, who actually lets me wager real money on bonuses there, and it's always fun to that. But the FanDuel Sportsbook, DraftKings, they're going to be locked and loaded, and so are we, and I can't wait for that to happen. But there was so much that happened this weekend in college football and spread out on so many days, because typically, Kevin, it's like that one real sprint on Saturday, and then you move forward. But we had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday college football. It feels like a whole season was played over a weekend. So instead of going like game by game or line by line, like, who really impressed? And we already talked about Miami. Like, I know Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Alabama was out there, Texas, Oregon. Like, who really impressed you this weekend that you came away with going, you know what? I thought they were good, but I might be doing a little bit more homework on these couple teams.
So Notre Dame won. I don't know if I saw the Notre Dame win and thought to myself, okay, this team can win a title.
Mm-hmm.
But I was someone who didn't think they would make the playoff. And now... Yeah. If they miss the playoff, it would be a monstrous disaster.
Yeah.
Because not only did they win what was a really tough game at Texas A&M, road, ranked, SEC, Elko-led defense, but also we found out hosting Florida State, Donnie, they might be touchdown favorites in that football game.
Yeah.
So that is so big, so monster. It really, really changes the setup for Notre Dame now, where if they aren't 10-2 at worst, that would be ridiculous. And I know a lot of people felt that way preseason. I didn't agree with it. I think they have some tricky spots on the schedule, like where they go to Purdue and play Georgia Tech in the Mercedes-Benz, right? I just think those could be tricky games. But realistically now, hosting Florida State, you should handle your business. USC is going to be tough late season. People, that USC team is good. But Notre Dame, Donnie, has moved to the third biggest favorite to make the playoff. And that's exactly what they should be on the victory against A&M and the fact that Florida State now is a team Notre Dame might be laying double digits to.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, too, because you're right. I watched that LSU game, which I thought LSU was going to win that game. And it's like the first or second quarter, I'm like, boy, LSU seems like they have more talent than USC and should win this one. And I give a lot of credit to USC. Their wide receivers were making plays. The quarterback looked like, you know, hey, look, that wasn't any fluke in that last bowl game. You watch me play, which, again, the media thought of saying, like, wow. Like, USC with that victory against the SEC, now going to the Big Ten, that makes it – because – I wasn't expecting a lot of USC in the Big Ten. I didn't hear too many people saying, you know what? I'm going to take my dark horse. USC is going to win the Big Ten. It's typically the same names. Like, oh, Oregon coming over from the Pac-12 is the team you have to watch out for. And quite frankly, they put up a ton of yards, which is an odd score against Idaho. But Michigan itself, 30-10 over Fresno. You might look at that final score and be like, yeah, they were favored by like 21 points. That's about what should happen. 6-point game in the fourth quarter entering in there. And the reason I want to bring that up is we're not necessarily handicapping this weekend moving forward. Oh, and Texas looked every bit the part of we're ready for the season. Michigan struggling a bit, and they play each other this weekend coming up.
Have you seen that line? Have you seen the line for Texas?
I'll tell you right now. Can't get enough of the Longhorns, man. Can't get enough.
I'll give you. I haven't bet it yet. I'll regret it if it moves too far.
Uh-huh.
Michigan almost 100% will end up my best bet in that game.
Wow. I like that contrarian style.
I like the Wolverines preseason. I like them more than Texas coming into the year. I understand how things looked week one. I got you. I don't care. 7.5 in the Big House. That's crazy. That's nonsense. And I'll tell you another thing. Here's my biggest week one overreaction.
Mm-hmm.
They should bench Quinn Ewers for Arch Manning. That's how much pop Quinn Ewers had, or Arch Manning had for me.
Wow.
In his next to nothing moments up against backups from Colorado State. He looked special. Oh, he looked like he's got all kinds of juice there, DRS.
I mean, why isn't this guy somewhere else? Why did he stay at Texas? That's always my question at this point here. I mean, the guy should be flipping out for somebody else just balling left and right.
It is crazy that we're only going to get 1 year of Arch Manning at the college game. Yeah. And it's you know, so think about it like this, and I know this is such an odd thing, but because Quinn will leave at the, like, is Arch Manning going to be a minus money favorite to be the 2026 NFL draft first overall choice?
Yeah, probably.
Right.
Hype the name, I mean, and he just has to play decent. Because I didn't watch the game. I thought it was a 5 of 6 and a touchdown pass. But I always found it, because people leave at the drop of the hat anywhere that aren't Arch Manning. Like, you're telling, and like, well, he committed to Texas and he wants to see it through. Not in this day and age. And also, like, well, he's got a lot of NIL money. That you don't think if Arch Manning was like, I'm just going to be a free agent this year, already capped off $3 million from Texas and their boosters. Mm-hmm. Who wants me now? Who would level up to just unload their entire NIL to get that guy? Then be like, you know what? Every year, I always joke about it, like every year, Arch Manning should have been on a different football team. Start at Texas, go to Miami, go to Clemson, go to Alabama, and he ends up with $33 million in his bank account.
I see the angle you're coming from, and he could have done that and basically never even had to play down of NFL football.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. My pivot is, and I don't mind all the movement. I encourage and I think it's fun. Arch staying makes me even higher on the kid. It shows a level of confidence. It allows him continuity with Texas football. Like, I think that is all going to work out really, really well for him being at Texas. Again, I cannot believe that that is a 7.5-point spread. Here's the other crazy thing I convinced myself of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've convinced myself Michigan is going to start the other quarterback, Alex Orji, instead of Davis Warren. I've convinced myself they were so confident they would beat Fresno, plus how bad Davis Warren was. They let him play that whole game, and they will now go out there with a completely different style of quarterback against Texas, throwing them a way, way different look.
Yeah, I do. I always, college football makes it interesting to me because it's always like, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. But when there's just such stark contrast between the two quarterbacks, just having the other team have to get worried or have to get ready and worry about either one of those always makes it interesting here. And he is a supreme talent. Just we'll see if he can step in with the arms. I don't say arm strength's wrong. He has arm strength, but just that offensive acumen where it's like, okay, right now you're the athlete quarterback, and then I'm going to turn you into that pocket passer and see if it works out. You can't go. I didn't like what I saw out of Michigan overall, but it feels like, Kevin, they're going to be playing into the 20s a lot this year. Like, their game is going to be like, we're going to beat you 24-10.
And Fresno's a good G5 team, so they're going to drag teams down. It's going to be hard to cover that kind of line against them. What do you think of Colorado? I know it was Thursday, which feels like a decade ago, but I'm curious what your takeaway was.
Here's my take. If you are a betting – I don't care about the side of the total, Kevin. You need to be in on props on Colorado and whoever they play. Their defense won't be able to stop a nosebleed at this point. And I do believe Shedeur Sanders has the ability to throw 45 times every single game. And those two wideouts, they are going to get so much work. And I laugh at myself because my first bet was like, let me just get involved in this game. And I said, all right, they got three wide receivers. I'm doing a little bit of reading up. Oh, got a big, tall wide receiver out of Vanderbilt who's had a lot of play in the SEC, and he's coming over. There'll be a lot of footballs to go around. My guy, Will, didn't even play. Like, he was invisible that entire game. And I just looked at Jimmy Horn on speed out there. The same thing with Travis Hunter going, like, I can't wait to bet them on a week-to-week basis. But that defense, Kevin, isn't stopping anybody on Colorado. Like, Nebraska this weekend, 40? Like, what are they going on Colorado? But Colorado is going to be able to return fire.
That's kind of the thing, though. It gives them a chance to hang in with anybody, and if the opposing quarterback makes a couple of mistakes. But Donnie, that defense did step up in the second half. Look, I think Shedeur Sanders is the best quarterback in the college game.
He looks good.
That gives you that. He looks so good. And I tell you this, in true Donnie Wrightside fashion, for people wondering which position Travis Hunter is going to play in the pros, wide receiver. Mm. That's where the money is.
I mean, the kid can play, man. And by the way, there's a lot of haters out there in Shedeur because of how much the spotlight's on them out there. I'm telling you, as a wide receiver in the past, the one guy I'd want to catch passes with is Shedeur Sanders. What a beautiful catchable ball, people. NFL Talk is next. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, Usher. We're talking NFL, people. Did you know? Open up on Thursday night.
Oh, Moneyline's going to be rolling this season. PFT boys, CFT boys, SportsGrid Network, place to be. I wanted to start here, Kevin. No surprise to anybody, Trent Williams, star left tackle of the San Francisco 49ers, has gotten a new contract, or at least they guaranteed some stuff here for him. I haven't read all the details yet. It broke this morning. But he's back. That doesn't surprise me one bit. I knew he would be back. Number two, Brandon Ayuk. Thought he might be leaving, but when you have four teams agree to compensation to get back in a trade and contract details with a certain wide receiver in Brandon Ayuk, and then he takes a week and a half to think about it, you knew he didn't actually want to go anywhere. He wanted to be with the Niners and use that as a bargaining chip. And it worked out in his favor. So if you said before the year started, are all these guys going to be back? I would say yes. Did I think there was a little bit of time where Ayuk could be traded like about a month ago? Yes. But it was pretty apparent once that trade was, hey, look, we have a deal in place, but nothing was coming about it. You knew he would be back. And that brings me up here. We do have one player holding out in the NFL, and that's for the New York Jets right now. And, you know, played for the Philadelphia Eagles, and now he's with the Jets. And it's just like the defensive end pass rusher, okay, and maybe the Jets need what's the name slipping my mind here? Give me the name.
Hassan Reddick.
Give me the name. Yes, jeez, man. Hassan Reddick for the Jets. Okay, he shows up, he doesn't. It's not really a big deal Monday Night Football. Now you go over to Ja'Marr Chase, Kevin. Every single player in the NFL that was supposed to get a new contract, almost regardless of position, got their new contract. Except for Ja'Marr Chase. Last week, he's like, okay, I'm going to start practicing again. Zach Taylor was like, yeah, that guy's playing week one. He goes, oh, you think I'm playing week one? Yeah, I'm going to show up to practice late and not practice now. Today, it's Tuesday. They play this weekend. Do you think Ja'Marr Chase has a signed, sealed, and delivered new contract before that game kicks off this weekend?
No. You know, when you say... Everyone who wanted to get paid got paid.
Yes. Yes.
There's another name that comes to mind that didn't. That's T. Higgins.
Correct.
Yep. And I almost wonder, I don't know if this, I don't have it fully fleshed out, but did T. Higgins come back because he knew that the Chase stuff was bubbling? And he was almost like, you know what? Like, maybe I'll be better off. You know what I mean? I don't have it fully thought out. I'm being honest with everybody.
Yes.
But it's just interesting that, like, T. Higgins and Chase could have both sat out together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And potentially really tied the screws to them. And Higgins coming off of his holdout made no sense.
No.
But it was kind of, you know, the Ricky Bobby, right? It was the slingshot. It then shot forward all of this Ja'Marr Chase stuff. So... I don't know, like maybe Higgins is like, I'm telling you, man, Chase is going to be missing a month of football and I'm going to be out there putting up $110 and a score every game and I'm going to get paid more money than anybody next offseason.
Here's the crazy part about it, Kevin, when you look at the Bengals. It's the only team. And again, I saw somebody retweet about the top, you know, the 32 owners in the NFL. Who's worth the least amount total? $900 million roughly. It's Mike Brown, which is still a godly amount of money. But I say to myself, you've known me, I've told this time and time again, the Bengals as a franchise would say to themselves, and they've done this in the past, I understand that if we have all our guys on the field healthy this year, we can make a legitimate run to the Super Bowl. But I told them already, I'm not paying the wide receivers this year. So I will hurt my football team in order to save money to make a point. And he'll sleep like a baby. Mike Brown will sleep like a baby at night. Not really like Jerry Jones would, like, you know, before signing CeeDee Lamb, if he wasn't there, like I don't think he would sleep for a week. But like, I don't understand. I'll make you the highest paid player in the entire sport, regardless of position, if you just come back and play for me in week number one. But Mike Brown, I don't think changes his day to day. And the reason I bring that up is, like, the T. Higgins thing made no sense to me. But answer me this, I'm playing it out. You take a look here at that room, and you're right. If T. Higgins goes, I'm on my last year, and I understand that, like, you're going to take this franchise tag and like it or nothing else. He sits out and Ja'Marr Chase, which I really believe should have happened. And we are talking, Kevin, 4 or 5 days before the season starts, and neither one of those guys is signed. What an embarrassment it would be. Now, I'm a little bit more optimistic than you, because if I think we weren't actually working on serious numbers, Ja'Marr Chase would be in Cabo San Lucas today making a point like, oh, he just left town and he's in South Beach and on a cruise ship right now. Like, oh my God, like he's really serious. Because I don't think Ja'Marr Chase would be hanging around the facility and showing up with that hold in if we're having no talks at all. But also, I say this, but it's like, I'm not a Cincinnati Bengals fan, but I can feel for that fan base. Like, if you're an owner that really cares just about the bottom line and how much money you can make, because quite frankly now, usually owning a football team, Kevin, just a status symbol for these guys. Yeah, I have 17 other businesses that make $30 billion. I bought this because I want to own it. I want to win championships. I want to put this ring in my other friend's face. Like, look at that. I just won a Super Bowl this year with my team. What did you do with yours? Like, Mike Brown, if you want money, just sell the football team. Like, your dad bought it for like $100. Sell it for $4 million and put it in your pocket and just move on. Because I guarantee who they sell it to, Kevin, there's going to be a guy like owns Walmart, like bought Denver. Like, we don't care about money. We just want to win championships. And I find myself saying, like, I want to be in on Cincinnati, Kevin. They sign him tomorrow to a lucrative contract and he's healthy. Like, you know what? That's a fun betting team. But I just don't understand the thought process behind it. Like, I said this to Ben this morning. If I tell you right now, Kevin, Ja'Marr Chase tomorrow morning signs the biggest wide receiver contract in the history of the NFL, nobody's going to go like, oh, that's an overpay, right?
No, certainly not. But that's, I guess, Donnie, almost why I don't have the same confidence as you. Because it's so easy to get these deals done. Man, I saw the Justin Jefferson deal happened. Someone quote tweeted it like months ago with the exact cap figures that made sense for CeeDee Lamb. And then that's exactly what CeeDee Lamb got paid. This stuff is easy. I truly, one of the funniest things I've ever seen was Jalen Hurts get paid and Lamar's insane saga that carried us on this show for months solved in 48 hours. Yes. Because all of a sudden, guess who didn't need an agent? Lamar.
Correct.
He goes, see, just need another dollar. We're good. And the Ravens were like, yep, you're obviously worth that. This is silly.
Yep.
And then it was done. This stuff, it is interestingly enough far easier to pay the best players in the league because everybody knows what they're going for.
Yep. And I'm telling you, I believe this. Like, Mike, if you had both of those wideouts sitting out for Cincinnati this week, and he'd be like, I'm not paying you, he would sit them the entire season to prove a point and save money at the risk of his franchise and his team. But in the NFL, it doesn't matter, Kevin. The value always goes up. We'll be right back on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NFL action starts in Kansas City. By the way, I got to ask you a question here. Friday Night Football, awesome stuff. The boys will be watching. I'm sure the Basement Brigade is going to be transferred from state to state and in place for that
they
game.
They will be.
See that? A lot of fun to be had. What are the expectations of the Brazil game? And the reason I bring this up is not that I'm saying like, oh, Darius Slay says there's going to be a lot of crime there and the players can't go out. Forget about all that. But let's talk about the game day experience. Because the thing I used to get so angry about sometimes, Kevin, is they would send two teams over to London or Germany, and it looked like they were playing on an ice skating rink. Just like you can't get the same grass for some reason that the NFL teams actually play on. And number two, have you been hearing all this hubbub? Because I joke around with this, but I actually think it's interesting. I love Twitter/X on Sundays, on football games, on college football. It doesn't matter. I want to feel like I'm watching the game with a million different people online where you can get that instant reaction, have fun, and particularly, Kevin, the beat writers to give you information. The reason I bring this up is, how many times are you just have your phone open and you're watching? Oh, look, Pete Thamel, I'm just using a name out there, just reported so-and-so is in the blue tent getting checked for a concussion. Oh, that's big news here. You can use that for gambling purposes or just off the side, Jalen Hurts ran back to the locker room, so we'll see if he comes out for the next series. Oh, that's interesting information I need to know. Did you know that X/Twitter is banned now in Brazil, Kevin? So if you are there with the NFL, if you're a fan or a beat writer or anybody releasing information, you cannot do it on Twitter. I think that is so wacky that we're so used to having those beat writers, especially in the NFL, there and giving out information on a minute-to-minute basis way ahead of what you see on the TV. None of that's coming through now.
Yeah, I don't really understand. What are they supposed
Elon Musk is sending minimal like in a battle. Though.
But they must be sending the Eagles beat writers, minimal.
Kevin, already down there. They're already down there, the Eagles beat writers. Like, let's just say five of them that go on the road, and I follow all of them. And I love, like, hey, they give instant information, instant updates, like commercial break, Kevin. Hey, looks like the chains are moving, and it looks like they're going to approve this as a first down on an instant replay. That's not going to be there anymore, though. Wild.
That's crazy, though. I don't really understand. Something's got to give. something's got to give there.
Like, don't you think the NFL, all places can make, look, I understand what you got going on in your country, but for 5 hours during that game, you ever want to get an NFL game down here again? That has to be on. Because, oh, Don, it was just X. You understand how much social media happens for this NFL game in Brazil? That Twitter is not available now in Brazil? That's crazy.
Yeah, no, that is bad. That cannot be. But there's nothing. Obviously, you're right. Like, it's not going to change. But why is it banned? Was it always banned, or is that an Elon?
No, exactly. Issue. 2 days ago, Kevin. Yes, 2 days ago. Battle with the government. They want them to send lawyers down there. He doesn't want to do it. So they go, fine. Whoa. We're just going to, like, take it offline completely in Brazil. Which, again, from an NFL perspective, is like, what are you doing? Like, we make our money now online. Like, hey, by the way, the NBA is going to play a game in France. It's going to be Wembanyama is going to take on the Los Angeles Lakers. Hey, by the way, no social media here. Like, that's the reason why you go, is to promote it.
Yeah. That's basically, Brazil's got their last and only ever NFL game, right? I mean,
yes, correct. That's what it feels like. Yeah.
That's the only way that you can kind of
turn off the internet altogether, and, like, we can't even get statistics down here, because it's such a wild thing. Even the dogs are upset about, hey, look, the Twitter updates need to happen. But do you have any issues with this game on Friday? Like, what are your issues are for this game Friday that you could see coming up?
Is
it
too hot?
Fans can't get in?
It's like, weird. Yeah. I don't love a week one international game. Here's what I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like when they remind us that this is just a TV product. Yeah. Remember when they just randomly in the middle of the year told us we were going to get a Monday night wild card game?
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I'll probably let you close it out from here, because, I mean, this is craziness.
There you go. I mean, the dogs had it. Look, they're upset that there's no Twitter down there in Brazil, but I hope it's a clean game, because you guys know me and Kevin as well. Eagles fans. So you want to watch it. And I'm already upset that that game is actually in Brazil. Not because I think the theater is cool and it's a Friday night, but for the Eagles' perspective, that's a big game that might actually factor into who's going to get home field advantage in the NFC playoffs, that if it's your home game, you'd want that in your own building. But from an international standpoint, I get it. It's opening weekend. It's a big deal. It's another country. They'll get involved. You're always looking for new markets to try to get down there and turn into fans, which turns into more money. We understand that. The NBA does a great job with that as being a global game, and the NFL is trying to do that. I just hope it goes over without any hitches. Just give me a clean surface. And yes, we'll deal with X not being there, but I'll tell you where X is going to be, right here in New Jersey on Thursday night when the PFT boys are together in studio live for that game. Live bets, live fun. You know where to be. It's the Sports Grid Network. Thanks for tuning in today. For JP behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, we'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Moneyline. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.